Hello, my name is Dr. Samuel Kim.
And I'm Sharon Kim.
And welcome to Research Sense for Korean American Therapy, a podcast that removes barriers and gives you a rundown of the latest Korean American mental health research. Hello, Sharon. It's been a long time.
Hi, Dr. Sam. How are you doing?
Not too bad. All right, let's see. What paper do we have today? It's entitled Parental Attachment Among Korean American Adolescents, and it seems to be authored by Park Wan-soo. And it was published in 2009. So I know we promised our listeners that we were going to use more contemporary articles, but I thought this was an interesting article. It's a little bit older, but it does talk about the relationship between parents and children and what sort of outcomes are related to that. It's particularly mental health. And I thought, yeah, this might be a good paper to read.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I am excited to talk about this paper because it was one of my interests too. So I'm glad we're doing
interests.
This. Yes.
Well, that's how I wanted to get started. I wanted to ask you, you know, as a brand new mother, have you been thinking about your relationship with your daughter?
All the time. I think I have the privilege of staying at home and just spending a lot of time with my child. And I think that's one of the biggest reasons why I decided to stay at home and be with my child is because I wanted to have a strong attachment with my child and so that she grows up, especially for the first 3 years of her life. I wanted her to have a strong bonding with her parents. And so that's something that I was interested in. When I was reading this, I was like, okay, I'm learning as a parent.
So here's an interesting question to you, Sharon. Clearly, we read this paper for this recording here today, and this is long after your child was born.
Uh-huh.
What made you decide that, hey, I need to have a good attachment with my daughter before you even read this paper?
So that was based on my attachment to my parents when I was growing up. I think, like I mentioned in the previous episode, I think I was reflecting a lot on how did I grow up? How was I raised? How did my parents raise me? And what kind of parent do I want to be based on that reflection, right? What are some things I want to keep? What are some things I want to change? And so that's what got me thinking about my attachment and bonding with my child. And so if there was one way to summarize what kind of mother I wanted to be, it was a warm mother. So I knew I wanted to become somebody who, you know, maybe not wise, makes a lot of mistakes being a first-time parent, but I wanted to be warm. So that's why I was really interested in reading this article as well.
Yeah, isn't it so funny that we have this natural understanding if you have a good relationship with your kid that will more likely lead to better outcomes. Mm-hmm. And we didn't necessarily need a whole study to tell us this. But what's interesting about the study is it's not just the relationship between a child and a parent that they're saying is important, but also the kind of relationship that you have with your parent. Because not all of us have had these warm, wonderful, sunshine and rainbow relationship mm-hmm. with our parents. Some of us had different kinds of relationships. Mm-hmm. And it might have been different for one parent or the other, or, you know, both parents might have had a similar relationship. And I think that's what's important to look at here. So we know that attachment, and for our listeners, you don't have to think of it as attachment. You can also think of it as just a relationship between a parent and a child. If you have a good, healthy relationship between a parent and a child, that leads to better development, that leads to better social, cognitive or thinking ability, as well as emotional development later on. And what's important about that attachment piece is that in this study, they looked at two dimensions of attachment. The first dimension is care and the other is control. So what's care, Sharon? What's parental care? What's that dimension?
Yeah, so the first dimension of parental care reflects a parent's display of warmth and affection towards the child. Are you warm when you talk to them, when you are with them? And then parental control, which is the second dimension, is seen as overprotection. It reflects parent behaviors that are overly controlling or restrictive of the child.
Yeah, and I would say growing up, I've seen both aspects, but I think what sticks out in my memory, and thank goodness my parents don't listen to this podcast, is that I remember a lot of parental control when I was growing up, being told that I need to be home by a certain time, that I need to get certain kinds of grades, that I need to be studying, or one of my mom's favorites is I need to make my bed and go wash the car.
I definitely see that in my childhood as well. My parents had very high standards. Being a child of immigrants, I think definitely they had very high standards. A is not good enough. A plus, that's how my dad raised me, you know, things like that. But, you know, there were also moments of parental care as well, like you said. So I think it was a mixture of those two. And what's interesting about these two dimensions is that you can combine them to create four different styles of parenting. So the first style of parenting is high control and low care. They entitled this as affectionless control. So high control and low care is one style. And the second style could be high control and high care, where they're being affectionate, but they're also being very much overly protective. And then there is low control and high care. And the researcher calls this optimal parenting. And then there is low control and low care. There's just no control, but then there's also no care. And so that's called neglectful parenting.
Yeah. And they all kind of look a little different. And I can't say that I have this typical view of what each of these dimensions look like. I can just only imagine what they would be. But someone who is affectionless control, like high control, low care, I think is what I hear a lot from my friends within my generation to talk about. You know, it seems like the parents are always like, why'd you get a 98 on that test? Why'd you miss 2 points?
Did you know my dad?
And there wasn't a lot of, you know, one of the things I used to hear from a lot of my friends is they never heard their parents say the words, I love you, to them, or they've never really been hugged by their parents until much later in life. And so that kind of reminds me of what that high control, low care looks like. I don't really have a picture of what high control, high care looks like, but I just imagine a parent who's very warm and affectionate, but also has very high standards for what a child should do.
I'm laughing because when I was reading about these four different styles of parenting, and I was like, which one do I fall into? Even though I've only been a parent for a couple of months, I'm like, definitely high control and high care. I have very high expectations of people that I care about, and I care a lot, but that's why I'm laughing.
Yeah. It's like, what does that look like? And then for the low control, high care, it's someone who has a lot of affection, but might provide a lot of freedoms for the child to kind of explore and do different things. And I think a difficult concept for a lot of parents to grapple with, because it is hard to kind of grapple with this, is allowing your child to make mistakes. And I think that is a hard thing to juggle. And then lastly, the low control, low care, I'm just going to say that as like the parent that doesn't care. This is someone who just doesn't really care about their kid because there's no control and there's no care that's involved as well.
Yeah. So I think the one thing that I was really interested about this paper is learning that attachment is really important because it has so many consequences to it, right? And so parental attachment and psychological distress are very much related. And one example that this paper gave was that the strongest predictor of psychological distress is high parental control and low parental care, especially when they're together. And so that can be detrimental to children.
I know, I read that and I thought, oh my gosh, am I in distress right now? Because of the way I was parented. So what's the question that they were trying to answer? They were trying to figure out if Korean American adolescents and the way they saw the parenting. So I think this is really important. It's not looking at how the parents parented. It's the perception that the kids had on how they were parented. Did the kid believe that their parents had high or low control or high or low care in the ways that they parented them? And they wanted to see if that parenting style had anything to do with that child's mental health later on. And mental health was measured through self-esteem, social support from friends, as well as depressive symptoms.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Sam, I wanted to ask you a question. Were you surprised that this researcher was looking at these outcomes, mental health outcomes, self-esteem, social support, and depression?
Not really. To be able to measure mental health is such a broad topic. Mm-hmm. There's so many aspects and dimensions to it that I don't really think that there is a single measure that can measure just mental health.
Right.
It's like asking, are you healthy? Well, yes, but there's a lot of things to look at in terms of what would make a person healthy or mm-hmm. unhealthy. So I'm not terribly surprised that they chose these different areas, but there is always room to study other topics as well.
Mm-hmm.
So what do we know about Korean American parents and their value systems?
Yeah, so it was interesting because the researcher is very much familiar with how Korean American families run. We have a saying that if someone immigrates in the 1960s, their values and way of thinking just get stuck in the 1960s, no matter how long they reside in the US. So those parents would probably have parenting values that resemble the Korean parenting values in the 1960s, whereas their children who grow up in the US are more Americanized and they quickly adapt to the American culture. And so there is that difference between the more Korean parent and the more Americanized child. And so these value systems and cultural differences can clash with each other.
I thought about my own family that immigrated in the late 1970s, and I thought they probably still just maintain things that they experienced and saw from the 70s while they were in the country. And I'll also include that there wasn't really too many opportunities to change because it wasn't like they could go on the internet or, you know, easily see TV shows and dramas that show the progression and change of parenting styles and things. And there weren't YouTube lectures done by people to tell us what parenting looks like nowadays. And so there really weren't a lot of opportunities for them to explore those things. So let's take a look at this study. As I said before, they were looking at the adolescents and their perceptions of the parenting. So they surveyed 260 Korean American adolescents, which I think is an impressive number of folks that they were able to survey. And they ranged in age from 12 to 18 with an average age about 15.2 years. Most of them came from Korean churches in the southeastern region of the U.S. About half were born in the U.S. and a little less than half were born in Korea. And these packets of surveys were sent out to all these churches out there and they filled them out and returned them. And they were looking at the parental attachment, as we've been talking about, self-esteem, depression, and social support from friends. So what do they find out there?
So the researcher found that 49% of those adolescents that filled out the survey perceived that their parents show low care and high control. I was shocked by this number. 50%, one out of two, perceive that their parents are very controlling, but then they don't show that much warmth, right?
And for the parents who are listening to this podcast, it is the kids and how they perceive the parenting. They did not survey the parents to ask how they parented. So this is just how the kids are perceiving it.
And 23% of adolescents perceive that their parents show high care and low control. That was showing a lot of warmth, but then also giving them freedom to make their own decisions, which is seen as optimal bonding. 21% perceive their parents being high care and high control. And then 7% said that their parents are showing signs of low care and low control.
Yeah, so we have the low care, high control, which is what I talked about. That's kind of the typical thing that I heard about when I was growing up. And then there was the optimal bond that we talked about, high care, low control. And so how do these things relate to the outcome measures, the self-esteem, social support from friends, as well as depressive symptoms? Well, the optimal one, so again, that's the I care a lot. There's a lot of warmth that I'm showing to you. Also, I'm not trying to control you as much. That group showed the highest scores of self-esteem and social support from friends. So they had the highest self-esteem. They had the highest amount of social support that they were getting from friends. And they had the lowest scores of depression compared to the other groups. interestingly enough, the high care, high control group. So this is the group that Sharon wants to be in. She wants to be very, very caring, but also have very high standards for her daughter. Scored higher on self-esteem and social support and lower on depression compared to the neglectful group. So it's better than the group that has no care and no control, but not quite as high as the optimal bonding group.
Mm-hmm. In summary, that shows that parental care does have significant correlations with the child's mental health measures, right? So if a parent is warm towards their child, they're affectionate, then that has significant positive, it's not just positive correlations, this is statistically significant positive correlations with self-esteem, social support, and negative correlation with depression. And then for parental control, it's almost the opposite, right? So if you are showing high signs of control, being overly protective, overly controlling of your child, then that would have a significant negative correlation with self-esteem and significant positive correlation with depression.
So what does this all mean? So let's say a parent's listening to our podcast and thinks, oh, I am not part of the optimal group. It's like, I fully admit that I am not part of the optimal group. Does that mean I'm a bad parent? I don't think so. What this study was talking about is that Korean American adolescents perceive the parenting to be different from their Anglo-European counterparts. And there are some unique differences that are within this group. And one of them is the cultural and language gap that exists between the parents and the kids. And part of that cultural language gap, there might not be a way to communicate a lot of these affections and a lot of these thoughts in a way that's easy for both parties. So if you have limited bandwidth for communication between a parent and child, what are you going to communicate? You're going to communicate the needs and desires that are required. So you need to do better in school. You need to do this. There isn't a lot of room within that to do affectionate, emotional talk within that.
I think it's also helpful for our generation and for second generation Korean American parents and maybe third generation Korean American parents to also realize and learn about the Korean culture. For instance, in one of the MSG workshops that you've led, Dr. Sam, you talked to adolescents and adults about the Korean history and culture, right? And why are parents so strict? Why are they so strict? Because we were a poverty-stricken, war-torn country for a long time. And that has led parents to believe that saying, 밥 먹었어? Did you eat? Is a way to show how much I love you and care for you instead of saying, I love you, which means nothing, right? I want to be able to provide you with food, which is a very tangible sign of love for my child, than just saying, I love you. And so that has been passed down for generations. Participants have told me, you know, just understanding that, that they finally understood that their parents were actually being loving towards him in the way that they knew how.
Yeah, it's almost like I'm caring about you by caring about your future. Mm-hmm. I want to make sure that you are comfortable in the future. I want to make sure that you have enough of what you need, especially when the parent is not around anymore. And, you know, going back to that history part, another important historical and cultural piece to how Korean Americans really think is a lot of the immigrant families that came from this belief that after the Korean War, we need to build back the country. We need to get everything back up running again. And we need to do it 열심히 and 서두르. It's like, those are like the two big concepts that come up with that. And with that sort of mentality that had been going on for at least a decade, thinking about when my parents immigrated to the US, I can see that still carried on with them. And they were, in essence, passing that on to me and those in my generation.
So for our listeners, if you're interested in learning more about this, we actually cover Korean American historical and cultural trauma on season 1, episode 9. You'll be able to, you know, learn and understand, oh, this is where our parents are coming from and what has been passed down for generations.
And I will say that many of the parents who are listening to our podcasts are in a slightly different group. Many of the ones who listen are probably in the 1.5 or second generation because our podcast is in English. So what would be an important takeaway for some of those parents listening? Well, I think one of them is not so much which of these four categories you fall in. I think that's the kind of the wrong way to think about it. Please do not turn this into like a typology personality test. Do not do that. But it is important to think about, how do you show affection and care to your child? And what areas do you provide controlling? And do you have higher standards for your child? And kind of reflecting on what is really important and what are some areas that, you know, it's okay if they make mistakes in this, and kind of get some life lessons from this versus this will really put their lives in danger. I need to help them not do this.
And yes, and to add to that, your parenting style being whether you're warm, affectionate, or strict, controlling, punitive, rejecting, or just plain indifferent will have an impact on how your children view themselves, you know, their self-esteem, how they make friends, and their overall emotional health as well.
All right. Well, that's a lot of stuff packed into an article from 2009. I think it still has a lot of applications for us to think about today. All right. Well, that's it for today's episode. We hope you'll join us next time.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed our episode, please subscribe to our podcast and check out more at mustardseedgeneration.org
and samuelykim.com. To keep these episodes coming, rate and share on wherever you listen to this podcast.